Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we are recording live at Katerina's in Chicago, 1920 West Irving Park Road. The show is produced by Chicago Jazz Magazine and WDCB 90.9 FM, College of DuPage. Very excited, actually. This show is going to cover who's playing where, what's going on, and who's happening here on the Chicago jazz scene. Of course, we're going to cover international artists coming through Chicago and everything else in between. We want to bring you the insider's look at Chicago jazz, thus the name Chicago Jazz Revealed. There's a couple of different things that we have on the show today. Actually, this is the first show, and I'm really excited to have one of Chicago's finest vocalists, actually probably one of the world's finest vocalists, Dee Alexander, is with us. We're going to do an interview with Dee and listen to some new tracks off of her new CD, plus revisit some of her other CDs and just find out and catch up with her on what's going on. Also on the show, we have Travis Rosenthal from the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, the executive director. And we're going to be doing a world premiere. Actually, we have two world premieres tonight because Dee has brought in a couple of tracks from her newest CD that's going to be released in November. And then Travis has just brought in some tracks from the Chicago Jazz Orchestra's latest release, which is just about to be released on August 7th, and which is on Origin Records. So we're going to be actually premiering two world premiere CDs, which is pretty exciting. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the Deer Park Jazz Fest, the Chicago Jazz Fest, and some other things that are happening around town. Speaking of the Deer Park Jazz Festival, which is sponsored by WDCB and Chicago Jazz Magazine, that's coming up August 10th. And both the Chicago Jazz Orchestra and Dee Alexander are performing on the fest, so I know we're going to discuss a little bit about that. Along with them on the festival, we will have the John Mulder Quartet and the Dan Ferris Trio. So it's a fun afternoon in Deer Park, Illinois, at the Deer Park Town Center for the Jazz Fest, starting at noon until 5 p.m. For more information, you can find that at WDCB.org or ChicagoJazz.com. Now, speaking of jazz festivals, coming up on Labor Day weekend is the Chicago Jazz Fest, and this is the 35th annual Chicago Jazz Festival. One of the artists who's going to be performing on the Chicago Jazz Fest is a world-renowned drummer who's also a Chicagoan by the name of Jack DeJohnette. He's going to be performing there with his group, but he just came out with a new release called New York Sessions. And New York Sessions features Keith Jarrett, Gary Peacock, and Jack DeJohnette. And the recording is a compilation of three different recordings that famous trio recorded back in 1983 at Power Station in New York. So why don't we kick off Chicago Jazz Revealed with a world-famous drummer from Chicago who's going to be performing on the Jazz Fest here in Chicago, Jack DeJohnette, and then we'll be back with Dee Alexander. All right, we're back here. Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, and I am pleased to welcome in outstanding vocalist, Dee Alexander. How are you, Dee?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
You are the first interview of Chicago Jazz Revealed. Has it changed your life already?
Yes, it has.
Thanks for lying.
Maiden voyage.
Thanks for lying, Dee. Thank you. Well, we're live here at Katerina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road, and why don't we start a little bit with just kind of get to know you a little bit. I'm sure a lot of the listeners right now already know you. I mean, very familiar with you. You've obviously mm-hmm. played all over town, all over the world. Mm-hmm. But for those of you know, that are casual listeners, maybe just kind of new to the jazz scene here in Chicago, that's thus the name Chicago Jazz Revealed. Why don't we reveal? I'm not going to do that all night. Trust me. Trust me. But why don't we find out a little bit about how you got started with being a vocalist?
Well, actually, I can thank my mother for that, exposing me to great music as a child growing up here on the west side of Chicago. And she always had great music playing, Ella, Nina, Dinah, Sarah, Coltrane, Miles, King Pleasure, Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra. I could go on and on and on. And as a child, I remember loving this music from the very start. And my mother would be in the kitchen doing her chores, and she would be singing along with her music. And I, you know, one morning, she told me, I came in and I was rubbing my eyes coming out of, you know, waking up from a good night's rest. And I went in there and I said, Mom, who is that lady? Who is that lady crying about her man? Well, it was Billie Holiday, you know. So as a result, I've always loved music. I've always loved vocalists. And throughout grammar school, high school, college, I've always had an interest in music and vocalists especially. My mother would send me, she lives in Michigan, so she would send me at that time tapes of different artists and say, oh, why don't you think about this song or think about that song? And the rest is history. Here I am.
Now, you didn't go to school for music, or you did go to school for music?
Well, I studied music in high school, and mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I went to Columbia College to study radio and television.
Oh.
Do you like my radio voice?
That's outstanding.
No, I didn't, but I studied music with the AAC. I'm here in Chicago,
okay.
Which is the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. I also studied music with the great Phil Coran, and I'm still studying. It's, you know, you never stop being
right.
in the classroom. But I've had the great opportunity to work with wonderful musicians, and as a matter of fact, that was the genesis of my improvisation, was working with great musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very honored to work with a great musician by the name of Light Henry Huff. A lot of people are familiar with him, and there may be a lot of people that are not. But he passed in the early 90s, and he was a multi-instrumentalist. He played all of the saxophones, tenor, soprano, alto. He played bass clarinet. He played harp. And I was fortunate enough to be in a group with him, and so he... You know, the group was called Breath, which was also with Yosef Ben Israel and Avriel Ra. But Light's, the best advice he ever gave me was to be totally uninhibited and not think about what people, you know, are thinking about you, which was difficult because you know, you always want people to like you and like what you're doing and everything. But when I worked with him, his music was so advanced and so out there, I had to just totally go within myself and not really think about what other people were thinking. Because if I thought about half of the stuff that I did then, I would just say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Why did I do that? but getting back to my mother has, I just want to thank her again and again for exposing me. And I always tell parents to play your classic music for your children because they are listening. And that's it.
Well, I guess that's, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the new release that you have, and
mm-hmm.
you named it, you know, appropriately enough, Songs My Mother Loves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that after you just talking about the songs that you were growing up with, I mean, that's classic. That's Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan.
Yes.
I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
that's an incredible listening repertoire. I mean, not a lot of kids probably get to listen to that growing up, so that had to majorly influence you. So
yes,
even
it did.
If you didn't study necessarily in a college, which sometimes is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
You had that just ingrained in you probably
mm-hmm.
since you were a little kid. It's
yes.
just it's inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So when and I'm curious about this. So when you were in college and
mm-hmm.
you're studying TV and radio and everything,
mm-hmm.
is that when you were working with the AACM as well, kind of getting your feet wet, or were you sitting in at clubs doing what you know musicians
Actually,
do?
Actually, it was after that time. It was in the oh gosh, it was in the 80s. A good friend of mine introduced me to. There was a place on 16th and Wabash, I believe, called the Progressive Arts Center. And he took me there one evening, and it was a loft, and it was this really cool, creative vibe. And I walked in, and there were all of these cool people, and they were dressed in these very colorful and avant-garde clothing. And there were two singers. It was Rita Warford and Equa Colson. And they are members of the AACM. And these women had their hair just very bold, and they had these big earrings on and these colorful dresses, and they were doing all these creative and wonderful things with their voices. And I was just in awe. It was like a rebirth. I was like, wow. You know, I don't really understand it, but I really, really like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were artisans there. They were selling all of their jewelry and their wares and everything. And it was so, so cool. And I just became a magnet to that scene. And hence, I was introduced to the AACM members, Douglas Ewart, Mwata Bowden, Ernest Dawkins, Nicole Mitchell, and I've just developed this this wonderful relationship with these fabulous musicians that, you know, for me, working with these musicians has been, that was like being in a classroom, really, because
sure.
just hanging out with them and just talking with them and listening to them and just being with them was being in a classroom. And I was just in awe of their musicianship, their creativity, because, you know, you listen to some of the things that they do and you're like, wow, what are they thinking about, you know? And so I'm very happy to be in that group, in that number, with these great musicians. And then I had the wonderful opportunity to work with Mr. Ken Chaney. So I had, I worked with Ken Chaney for 10 years, and then I had the experience of the AACM. And, you know, you put those two experiences together. And of course, also, too, I was also raised listening to, you know, the soul stations. I listened to James Brown and, you know, Jimi Hendrix and the Temptations, just like everyone else did. So I just took all of those things, you know, take all of those experiences into my own cake, and I put it in the oven and see what comes out, you know, what kind of flavor it's going to be, you know.
So. Well, and that's really what, you know, I mean, I think everybody, you know, if you're a jazz, you know, quote-unquote jazz singer, right? I mean, especially nowadays, I mean, I think everything is melded in. I mean, I know that you just did the James Brown. Is it a tribute? I mean, I don't want to misstate what it is.
It was actually an interpretation.
Interpretation.
It was an interpretation of Jimi Hendrix and James Brown's music. And it was a blast.
Oh, man. Well, you just did that at Millennium Park.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they had influence. All of the
yes.
classic vocalists had influence. The,
mm-hmm.
the local Chicago musicians had influence
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about influences, your first release, which was on Blue Jazz Records,
mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. And
well, I did a tribute, actually, I want to say it was in 2008 to Nina Simone and Dinah Washington, who also were two of the artists that my mother would play when I was growing up here in Chicago. You can take that out. I've said that enough. But anyway. But actually, Nina Simone and Dinah Washington have always been two very strong influences in my life for a number of reasons. They were trailblazers. They set the tone for me as a vocalist and for, I'm sure, for a lot of other vocalists, not only in Chicago, but throughout the world. Because of their creativity, because of their boldness, because of their originality, and I think it's very important to have your own voice, and they certainly have their own voices when you hear them. The first note that comes out of Nina's, the first time you hear her voice, you know, that's Nina.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you hear Dinah, you know, that's Dinah.
Yeah.
And naturally, as a young artist, we're all influenced by something or someone, something or another. But the most important thing is to try to develop your own sound and your own voice. And I certainly put a little Nina and a little Dinah into the cake as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, talking about your first release, which is Wild as the Wind,
mm-hmm.
Wild as the Wind on mm-hmm. Blue Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we hear a song, Butterfly, I think we're going to hear first, right?
Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit about Butterfly.
Well, Butterfly is a song that I wrote, and it's basically about me. It's about, you know, breaking out, a metamorphosis, and the advice that Light Henry Huff gave me, not being afraid to take chances, you know, walk the plank and spread your wings and fly, you know, and spreading joy around the world. So.
Well, let's take a listen. D. Alexander, Wild is the Wind, and this track is called Butterfly. All right, we're back here, Chicago Jazz Revealed on WDCB, and we're still with D. Alexander. Now, we just heard two tracks. The first track was Butterfly, and the second track, This Bitter Earth, all off of her first release, Wild as the Wind. Wild as the Wind. It's a blue jazz release. Is this still available online, or can
yes,
they
it
pick
is.
It up?
Absolutely.
Can they get more details at dalexander.net?
Yes, they can.
Outstanding. Now, that last tune, This Bitter Earth, I think you know, just listening to it and hearing your voice mm-hmm. and everything you talked about, all of your influences leading up to it, mm-hmm. I think that really was a great example of all the different influences.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes. And, of course, a song that Dinah Washington penned. And she was just her voice was incredible. It was very, very strong. And she was very spicy. My mother would tell me stories about how Dinah would, you know, she just had a very sharp wit about her, and she had a sharp tongue as well. And you know, there was a club, the Club de Lisa, on the south side. My mm-hmm. mother said she was there, and Dinah was upset because people were talking while she was performing. And so she asked them in her own way, if they don't be quiet, she's going to shut the blankety blank club down. So can I say that?
I'm sure you can. Don't worry about it.
But anyway, they kept talking and they kept talking, and my mother said, next thing you know, she was like really pissed off, and she shut the club down because people wouldn't stop talking.
No kidding.
And there have been instances, as a matter of fact, at Katharina's, right here at Katharina's, I've been here, and you know, Katharina's is a beautiful, intimate club. And I'm singing this ballad, and then there are people at this, to the left of us, and they're just mm-hmm. talking, and they're talking all loud, and they're laughing, and kiki kiki, you know. And I'm singing this beautiful ballad, heartfelt, you know. And so I just thought, what would Dinah do right now?
Oh boy!
So I says, I can't do that, you know. there's no way. But there have been times when I've wanted to. Well, I just asked them politely if you would mind keeping your voices down, because people pay to hear the music, and mm-hmm. they do that. So I always try to be a lady.
I think there's a lot of musicians listening that would love to do exactly what Dinah Washington did.
God.
Yes. But that's all right. Nobody's talking while we're interviewing, doing the interview
it's
here.
Just us.
That's
right.
That's right. Everybody's listening intently out there. Let's talk a little bit before we get into your next group. You are actually playing at the Newport Jazz Fest.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. It's humbling. And it, most of all, it's a blessing. I'm very, very honored to be playing at this very, very prestigious festival that I believe started in 1954. Mm-hmm. And I did a little history on it. And to see all of the great artists that once performed, Ella Fitzgerald performed there, Dizzy Gillespie. It's just to be there and to know that these great artists that paved the way for us once stood on that stage, it's going to be very, very spiritual, and I'll probably get chills and just, you know, I'm very, very excited about it. So, yes, we're going to go there, and we're going to do our thing like we always do, Chicago style, and represent Chicago.
Now, what group are you going to be performing with?
The D. Alexander Quartet with Miguel De La Serna on piano, who's my musical director, Harrison Bankhead on bass, and Yousef Ernie Adams on drums.
Now, is that the same? I mean, that's going to be the same style of music that you did with Wild as the Wind?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Because that's a quartet, right?
Yes, it was a quartet. And I also had special guests on there as well. James Sanders was on violin on Wild as the Wind. But we're going to be debuting, premiering, if you will, some of the songs from Songs My Mother Loves.
And that's going to be released in November.
Yes. I'm shooting for November. That's what I'm shooting for, yes.
Now, before we get into that, actually, why don't we talk a little bit about the other group you have, the mm-hmm. Evolution Ensemble,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which we were talking before we came on the air. I mean, you've traveled all over the world with the Evolution Ensemble.
Yes.
Why don't we talk and just find out a little bit about how that started, and then we'll hear a track from them, from you. It's not them. It's your group. What am I talking about?
Well, you know, in 2008, I had a meeting with Lauren Deutsch, the wonderful Lauren Deutsch mm-hmm. of the Jazz Institute of Chicago, and she asked me, what do you want me to do for you? And I mentioned earlier my friend Light Henry Huff, he was my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and he wrote all of this beautiful, beautiful music that I had the privilege to sing. And I told her, I said, I would really like to do a tribute to him. Now, I was in a group with him and that we performed in the 80s and the early 90s. The group was called Breath, which was comprised of myself on vocals. And Light, he played all of the saxophones, and Yosef on bass, and Avriel Ra on drums. And I also did interpretive dancing at that time. So I was kind of aiming at trying to recreate that same type of group, but it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work for a reason, because Light was always striving to present his music in a different way. He played harp. He had a troubadour harp. So I thought, wow, why not with strings? I think that would be really fantastic to do his repertoire with strings. So Tamika Reed on cello, Junius Paul on bass. At the time, I had Rashida Black on harp, and Ernie was playing all of the percussion instruments, and myself on vocals. And I had all of his music and music copywritten and published with the help of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, as soon as I got that music, as soon as I took the pen off the paper, all of these things just started happening. It was amazing. And I said, oh, Light is working on the other side for me. He's talking to God on my behalf, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these wonderful, wonderful things started happening. And I'm just really, really, and things are still happening. It's just amazing. And sometimes I'm surprised, and sometimes I'll go, okay, Light, you know. All right, I know you're doing your thing, and I hope that you're happy with what I'm doing with your music, and I think that he is. So we did, I think it was in June 2008, Jazz Cities, we did a performance in Columbus Park, and it was a tribute to Light.
Okay.
We did all of his music. It was heavenly. It was just absolutely heavenly, and we all wore white, and we had candles, because he was a very spiritual individual.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me that on one of the songs, behind the stage, there were all of these trees. While I was performing one of the songs, these lightning bugs just started lighting up. It was just so...
Wow.
Oh, God. I'm just getting a chill right now just thinking about it. But the lightning... I didn't see it because I was singing. Lots of times when I sing, I close my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But just to know, to feel his spirit, I know that he was there. And I think that he was pleased with how we presented his music, because we just approached it in a different way. And the thing that I love about the Evolution Ensemble is that it's not my group. I tell them all the time, it's not my group. We're collaborators.
Okay.
We collaborate
yep.
together. And any ideas that anyone has, again, we put it in the soup pot, and we find out what kind of soup stock we're going to come up with. And it's just been amazing. So we did that, which opened up doors for us to go to Brazil. We've been to Italy. We've been to Paris.
Yeah, you've been all over the world with that
group. Oh, my God. And we're going to Poland in November.
For the Made in Chicago?
Yes, yes. And it's just been absolutely wonderful. It's been amazing. And I'm very, very happy about all of it.
Well, why don't we hear a song? What are we going to hear? Do we know?
We're going to hear a song called Truth. Now, we performed, we made this CD, and the CD is called Sketches of Light on the EGIA label in Italy. And it was produced by the Umbria Jazz Festival. And it's called Sketches of Light. That's the name of the CD. Unfortunately, it's not available for distribution yet here in the States, darn it. But it will be soon.
Good.
So we're going to hear a song that...
All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers. The show is live at Katarina's here in Chicago, 1920 West Irving Park Road. And we are finishing up our interview with Dee Alexander. That was an incredible recording, unfortunately. This is the only place you're going to be able to hear it because it's not available in the States yet.
But I think that will change. If Light Henry Huff's spirit has anything to do with it, it will definitely be available here in the States real soon, and everyone will know when it is, because I'll make sure that everyone gets a copy of it, all of the radio stations especially.
Oh, good, good, because now this was just recorded last year, so I mean it's the new recording,
yes.
So we've got to get this back in the States.
Evolution Ensemble, yes.
Now, speaking of the very new recording, mm-hmm. which is going to be out in November,
mm-hmm.
Songs My Mother Loves.
Yes.
I mean, the title obviously tells us what it's about.
Absolutely.
These are the songs your mother loves.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do an album based around the songs that your mother loves?
Well, I wanted to thank my mother for, you know, guiding me down this path of music, and to also just pay tribute. I don't know if tribute is the right word, but just to express how much I love this great classic music that will live on forever and ever and ever. People say that jazz is dead. No. Definitely not. And I just want to do my part to keep it alive. So I selected, the selection process was very difficult because you only have so much time on a CD and there's like 50,000 songs that you want to record. So I'm still going through the selection process right now because the CD is not complete and we're working on arrangements just to add a couple of curves and a couple of turns to some of those classic mm-hmm. songs. But some of them, I believe that they're just beautiful just as is, you know, just to keep them basic, beautiful, and classic. So that is the genesis of Songs My Mother Loves.
Well, and you bring up, you know, putting little twists and curves. I mean, that's really what jazz is, mm-hmm. is putting your own spin on these classic songs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Especially when you get into the standards and the you know, I mean, the world famous songs everybody knows.
Yes.
I think it's always interesting to have somebody put a different twist on that.
Absolutely.
Now, is that what you're going to be doing at the Monterey Jazz Festival, putting a little twist on things?
The Newport Jazz
The Newport.
Festival.
Why am I saying Monterey? The Newport
you
Jazz
Festival.
You got
Monterey
Festival.
On your mind.
I know. I know why. I was talking to somebody this afternoon, and it carried into my interview. That's all right, D.C. This is a loose show.
Oh,
we're
no,
having
no.
fun.
I know what it means. It means that I'll be doing the Monterey Jazz Festival next.
See? It just came into my mind. I'm pushing it out there. The Newport Jazz Fest, as I was saying.
Yes.
This is something you're going to be doing at the Newport Jazz Fest.
Yes, I'm actually going to be doing, Miguel says to me, just do D. Alexander. So I'm going to be doing some songs from, we haven't even completed all of the songs for mm-hmm. Songs My Mother Loves. So we're doing some of the songs that we're working on right now. And also I'm going to do some of the songs from Wild as the Wind because this is a new audience for me and I'm very, very happy and grateful to be exposed to a different audience. So just to give them a little taste of Wild as the Wind as well as Songs My Mother Loves.
Now before we play a track, a world premiere track mm-hmm. off of Songs My Mother Loves, there is a chance for the people listening to see you perform live, mm-hmm. which is going to be at the Deer Park Town Center Jazz Festival. It's the Deer Park Jazz Patio and Wine Festival, August 10th.
Yes.
And you're going to be performing with another well-known Chicagoan, Eric Schneider and his quartet.
My good friend Eric Schneider. I just love him. Every time I work with Eric, it's a blast because I just don't know what's going to happen next. Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. Always look, because we don't work together that often, but when we do, it's really a great time.
Now, that afternoon is also going to have John Mulder's quartet, mm-hmm. and of course Travis is mm-hmm. here, and we're going to have him on next with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. I know you've done things with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra in the past.
And Travis just asked me if I wouldn't mind doing a couple of numbers with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra while I'm there, so I'll be singing with them as well.
There you go. So August 10th,
yes.
The Deer Park Jazz Patio and Wine Festival, and you can get more details at WDCB.org and ChicagoJazz.com. The schedules are all up online. And why don't we hear one track? Now, this is going to be released in November, so yes. This is a world premiere.
Yes.
And what is the name of the song?
Softly as in a Morning Sunrise.
This is D. Alexander from the upcoming release, Songs My Mother Loves. D, it was a pleasure having you on.
Likewise.
The first interview
yes.
on the show.
Yes.
Thanks so much. And we'll be back right after this song.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back here with Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine, and live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. And happy to have Travis Rosenthal, the executive director of the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, with us. How are you, Travis?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
Doing fantastic. Don't you like the audience? The audience is clamoring to hear what
it's
you have
wonderful
to say,
audience.
Travis.
Thunderous applause.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
People at the bar, thank you. So we're back here at Katarina's, and Travis, I'm pretty excited, actually, because this is going to be a world premiere. The Chicago Jazz Orchestra has been around for, I think you're celebrating your 30th year?
35 years this fall.
35 years.
Yes.
And the new release, which is called Burstin' Out.
That's correct.
Is going to be out August 20th.
Right.
However, we have three tracks that we're going to be able to play on the show today from the new release. So this is another world premiere. We just had Dee Alexander. And we premiered a song from her, and now we're going to be able to premiere a couple of tracks from the new Chicago Jazz Orchestra release.
It wouldn't be Jazz Revealed without it.
That, ooh, see? I like that. You're right. It is true Chicago Jazz Revealed, yes, here on 90.9 FM WDCB. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the background of the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. Now, I know that a lot of our listeners know about the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. You've been around for 35 years, as you mentioned, but it used to be called the Jazz Members Big Band when it first started out.
Right. Started in 1978 as the Jazz Members Big Band. Mm-hmm. It was essentially a rehearsal band. Started. We still have several of the original members from the late 70s, early 80s. At any point in time, about half the band is made up of guys that have been around with us for that entire time period. So throughout the years, we've played a lot of places. This coming December would be our 25th year at the Kennedy Center Honors as the house band for the Kennedy Center Honors Gala.
You guys, we were talking before we came on the air, and the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, a lot of people probably don't realize this, but you guys got called to be the house band 25 years ago.
Right.
And it stuck. And you were telling me all the different celebrities and all the different people that you guys have performed for. This past year, Led Zeppelin was there.
Right, Led Zeppelin were the honorees this past year, and Chicago's own Buddy Guy,
right,
who I believe it's his birthday today, 77.
Wow. And they come up to the stage, right? I mean, who were you telling me? Wasn't Stevie Wonder sitting in on piano one time?
Years past, Stevie Wonder, Diane Shore, Matthew Morrison from the television show Glee. They've had a long list of different people sit in with the group and stop by, and it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I everybody knows the quality of the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, but I think it's pretty interesting to hear about these different encounters that you guys have when you're at the Kennedy Awards. Now, you were telling me Stevie Wonder sat in and he started playing some tune.
Giant Steps.
Giant Steps. Now, who would expect Stevie Wonder to play Giant Steps?
Right, and it's my understanding, it was before I was with the band, but it's my understanding it was absolutely marvelous.
Yeah. It's pretty burning, huh?
Right, yeah. Well,
all right, back on track here. We've got to get back to revealing Chicago Jazz. So you guys got started. You were called the Jazz Members Big Band, and then Jeff Lindberg was in the band originally.
Right,
so
he's trombone.
One of the founding members. And now he's the artistic director. So he kind of took over running the band. What years and how did that kind of evolve?
I believe it was in the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm, when our co-founder, Steve Jensen, had passed away, and Jeff kind of took over the artistic leadership at that point. The name of the band changed in the late 90s to the Chicago Jazz Orchestra from the Jazz Members Big Band, and it's been a nonprofit organization. Since then, we produce and present anywhere between 30 and 40 dates a year.
Wow. And that, for those of you listening, that, you know, 30 or 40 dates a year seems like a lot, but it's a huge amount of dates for a big band.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about 18 guys performing, and you're traveling, you're doing a lot of different things. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the season you just had and maybe some of the things that might be coming up in the future. But before we do that, you guys are going to be headlining the Deer Park Town Center Jazz and Wine Festival August 10th. And I believe what you told me is that the new CD, Burstin' Out, is going to be available there.
Right. We'll have it available for sale there. It'll be the first time it's been available for sale in the public before the release date of August 20th. So if you want an advance copy, come out and see us there. We're playing from 3:40 to 5 p.m. We'll be doing all sorts of different music and a couple of tunes with Dee Alexander, who we just spoke with, and also a couple of surprise Wes Montgomery tunes with John Mulder, who's playing earlier in the day. So it should be a really exciting a festival appearance for us.
Well, why don't we listen to a tune? Why don't we listen to September in the Rain off of the new release, Burstin' Out? here on WDCB, Chicago Jazz Revealed.
The leaves of brown can tall and don't remember that September in the rain.
All right, we're back here, Chicago Jazz Revealed, WDCB 90.9 FM. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we are sitting here with Travis Rosenthal, the executive director of the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. Now, that was September in the Rain. That was the new track off of the new CD, Burstin' Out. Tell me a little bit about how you recorded that, because it was pretty interesting. You said you went to Main Stage and recorded that live.
Right. We worked at the Main Stage in Rogers Park. The recording engineer was Freddie Breitberg, and he and Jeff Lemberg produced the CD. We pulled all of the seating out of the floor area and built sections for each of the horn sections to record in. We recorded strings on the stage. Surreal was in her own booth. It was raised above the rest of the band. So it was kind of a unique setting. We kind of built our own sound for it, and I think it sounds really good.
I hope you took some pictures of that.
Oh, we have plenty of pictures.
Oh, wow. And those pictures will be available
on our website, which is www.chicagojazzorchestra.org.
Well, now, how many days were you at the Main Stage?
We did it in 2 days.
2 days.
Yes.
How many tunes?
12 tunes, and anywhere from 16 to around 42 musicians.
Jeez. So it was a coordination nightmare?
It was a lot of organizational work on it, but I think it's very representative of what we wanted it to be.
So. Now, with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, you've obviously performed at all the major venues in Chicago.
Right.
Traveled throughout the country, playing festivals, doing different venues, doing things like that. What are some of the things that stand out the most since you've been involved with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra? Meaning, I know that you just did this past season has been pretty incredible because you did something with Kurt Elling. You did a Frank Zappa tribute concert.
Right.
Who would think the Chicago Jazz Orchestra is going to do a Frank Zappa tribute, which was phenomenal at the Park West.
Right.
You know, in the past, you've recorded with Clark Terry. You've recorded with probably numerous other artists. What are some of the performances that stand out, or maybe a different recording that stands out for you with the Chicago Jazz Orchestra?
Me being a trumpeter, I think my favorite recording was the Clark Terry Porgy and Bess album we did in 2004. It was a downbeat 5-star, and the music I think of that was just great, and for me to hear it before even starting to work with the group and then starting to work with the group was a lot of fun. They've had numerous gigs through the years with, you know, Dizzy Gillespie and Joe Williams and all sorts of people. This past season, as you mentioned, we were with Michael Feinstein and Kurt Elling and Randy Brecker, and last year with Arturo Sandoval, and just in the past couple of years we've done all sorts of fun gigs and keep working at it. Millennium Park last year with the Three Ellas and D. Alexander, who we spoke with earlier. We opened the Chicago Jazz Festival last year, so this year we'll be at the Hyde Park Jazz Festival with Tammy McCann on Sunday, September 29th.
Is that on the main stage on the Midway?
Right. Yes.
James Wagner stage.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, just a lot of fun stuff going on and continuing to keep the big band music alive and keep pushing forward with you know, playing for as many people in as many places as we can.
Talking about the past season, I know that you and I have talked in the past about the past season, and you actually are strategically trying to place the Jazz Orchestra in different venues so that people all throughout the entire Chicagoland area will have a chance to see and hear the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. You were at Picksteiger Hall. You were at the Auditorium Theater.
At Wentz Concert Hall in Naperville.
Right.
We were in Millennium Park. We do a summer series at Andy's Jazz Club each summer. We've been at the Jazz Showcase. Pretty much all over town for different things. We're in Hyde Park and up in Deer Park now this year. And just a lot of fun to take the band around and kind of make our tour of Chicago and keep building our fans.
And that's the main thing, too, is that, you know, I'm not sure how many big bands are actually doing as much work as you. I know that there's the different ghost bands, the Basie Band, the Buddy Rich Band and things. But, I mean, for the Chicago Jazz Orchestra, what other bands can you kind of say that, you know, are in your caliber doing these kinds of things that, you're doing? I don't think there's that many.
I think, you know, with the big bands, it's so hard with a group so big to travel and you know, with the economics involved with it and everything. I think, you know, it's definitely becoming more rare to be working this much with a big band, and we're very appreciative and excited to be working as much as we are. And you know, obviously there's Jazz at Lincoln Center, who, you know, is touring
right,
frequently,
sure.
and all the bands that you had mentioned, you know, the Basie Band and different bands like that, and we're happy to be mentioned and excited to be mentioned, you know, in the same, you know, groups with those organizations.
Well, talking about Clark Terry, why don't we play a track from that recording that you talked about from 2004, which was the Downbeat five star,
right?
Excuse me, I don't want to cut a star off, man. Five Star, Porgy and Bess. And what are we going to hear?
Here Comes the Honeyman. It's Clark Terry on trumpet and some vocals. I think it's a really fun track.
Let's take a listen here on WDCB. Okay, we're back here with Chicago Jazz Revealed, and I am with Travis Rosenthal from the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. We are live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road here in Chicago. We got a couple more minutes left. So, Travis, why don't you fill me in? What do you have coming up for the Chicago Jazz Orchestra? Because I know that after our listeners have listened to the new tracks from the new CD, the world premieres tracks, they're going to want to get out and see you guys. So fill me in. Where are you guys playing?
Sure. We have four more Mondays at Andy's Jazz Club. Every Monday in August, we will play sets at 5:15 and 7 p.m. each Monday with a different vocalist.
And that's pretty cool because it's in an intimate club, which you don't normally get to see the Chicago Jazz Orchestra in an intimate club setting.
Right. It's a very unique setting for a big band and very representative of what the touring big bands would do when they would go into all the clubs in, you know, the 50s and the 60s.
And it might even just be worth going there just to see how you get the entire band on the stage at Andy's.
It's like putting a puzzle together, but always a lot of fun and a good atmosphere, food and drink and music and... as I mentioned, we have a different vocalist every week, so come by and check it out.
Okay.
Saturday, August 10th, as we mentioned, Deer Park Jazz Festival. We're headlining from 3:40 to 5 p.m. at the Deer Park Town Center, and we'll do a couple of tunes with D. Alexander and a couple with John Mulder and have the full big band there.